Let's open the Word of God to the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And we have been going through Psalm 51 as we have been covering and looking at repentance and David's repentance and his confession of sin after adultery with Bathsheba and conspiracy to have murdered her husband. Today, we're going to look at Psalm 51, and we've come down to verses 5 and 6. Surely, I was sinful at birth. King James said, I was conceived in sin. I'm paraphrasing. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Father in heaven, we need your help. The old saying goes, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure enough need him now. I need you right now. We need you right now, both in the preaching of this word and the hearing of it, that you'd open our hearts, that you would do heart surgery. We need you. And we ask this be done by the power of the Holy Spirit who inspired this word. And in your name, Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. In every great move of God in our lives, I believe it is preceded, and in the church, by repentance. On the day of Pentecost, they were waiting in upper room. They were in prayer. And the Spirit came. And Peter said, repent. Right? Repent. Anybody here have anything to repent of? Oh, I don't see any hands. I've raised two hands. And if I could jump high and put both feet up at the same time, I got so much junk. So much junk. So much. And after David was convicted that he had sinned, he cried out for mercy. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. For there, as we have showed you, there was no way around adultery and murder. They were capital offenses. He had to be stoned, and he cried out for mercy. We all need mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. And then we learned last week that as he got deeper into the repentance, he came to see. In verse 3, for I know my transgressions and my sin are always before me. Against you, verse 4, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. He said, I have sinned against you. Well, wait a minute. He had sex with another man's wife and then had him killed. What about them? Weren't they sinned against? Of course. But their sin was, if I could use the word, secondary. Important and serious as those things are, and the havoc it wreaked in those people's lives, it was secondary. We learned last week that all sin is against God. When you hate your brother, when you steal from your sister, when you lie, you are sinning against God. Why? Because whoever you're lying to, whoever you are hating, whoever you're dissing, it is against God. For that person is in the image of God. It is against God also because God put those laws there. They are his laws. And he takes it personally. So personal that he sent his son to die because guess who killed Jesus? Not the Romans. Not the Jews. You did. And I did. Mine were the hands that held him there and nailed him. Because he died for my sins. And he died for yours. And all sin is against God. The great commandment we went through and showed, Matthew 22, is to love God with all your heart and soul and being. He said, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That when you love God, you're loving your neighbor. He said, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. 1 John 4. How can you say that you love God and hate your brother? He who loves God loves his brother. They are linked. And so David is convicted. Oh, I have really sinned. I've sinned against you, God. And we need to take it there, to that level. Not just say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Now I lay me down to sleep. You know, pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I apologize. No, we need to take it deeper. God, I've offended you. God, I've sinned you. God, I'm the cause of your death in Jesus Christ. When it becomes personal, it gets real. Now David kicks it up another notch. Now he goes even deeper in his confession and in his repentance. Not enough to commit capital sins and confess it. Not enough to sin against God. Now he says something I wonder if we really grasp as to why we sin. Why did David sin? Was it because of his lust after a beautiful woman? Was it because he didn't want to get caught, so you cover, you know, to say the cover-up is greater than crime, so I have her husband killed? Why did David sin? Why do you sin? Huh? Was it because you were tempted like David? Was it because of the devil? That's what Eve said. Eve said, the serpent. Adam said, the woman. Right? We all blame. Why do we sin? Look at verse 5. Surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Elder Joe read Psalm, I think 58, when we began. That the wicked go astray from birth. I've had 3 children. Now my wife had them. That's right. I was there. Oh, they're so sweet. Right? Until, what? You don't give them what they want. Right? Somebody once said that babies cry 2 times when they are born. Once when they come out, doctor spanking one behind, they cry then. And the second time, you know when they cry again? When they get spanked again for taking the doctor's watch. You know, babies are sweet little angels. They're no angel. No, they are angels. That are not sweet. And I'm not calling them that. But from birth, how many, I won't raise for a show of hands, how many of you recognize that children are evil from birth? That's just preposterous. Why'd you say that? There used to be one. From birth. What David is talking about and sin from the time my mother conceived me is not that she had a baby mama daddy deal. And she was, he was born in sin. That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that every human being since Adam and Eve that are born sinners. I put that, that's not the point I'm trying to make, but yes, it is too. Born sinners. Bad to the bone. Born sinners. David did not sin because of his lust. David sinned because he was what? A sinner. You don't sin because you were tempted. You don't sin because you were weak. All those are excuses. You sin because you are a sinner. I am a sinner. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. Here he was, an apostle of God. Wrote more of the New Testament than anybody. And he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Wait a minute, Paul. I thought you were different than that. I didn't know you were like that. We're all sinners. And until you come to see that to your core, you are a sinner, you have not really totally repented. Because you'll have an excuse for everything you did. The devil made you do it. And this and that and the other thing is where I was brought up and I was in poverty. If I were brought up in, you know, a middle class thing, I wouldn't be a thief. You ever saw that movie Trading Places? Eddie Murphy and him and all that? Okay. These two stockbrokers, rich guys, had this experiment, right? Is it heredity or an environment? So they took Eddie, who was, you know, hustling, you know, trapping, you know, on the street, like he had no legs. Brought him in, and he was able to make a lot of money. And they put the other guy, you know, the one from Harvard, and who was in the clubs and all of that, you know, and had his butler and all that. And they took all that from him. All right, put him on the street. It's not heredity, and not environment. It's sin. We're all sinners. Everything else is superficial. If you want to get down to real repentance, you have to repent of what you are. Repent of what you are. And ask God to change you and to make you in His image. This time, spiritually. Repent of what you are. And ask God to give you a new birth with a new nature. See, you were born with heart problems. So was I. I'm not talking about I was born with too much cholesterol. Too much bad cholesterol, not enough good cholesterol. No, we were born with a heart that's sinful. You say, show me that in the Bible, Pastor. Okay, show me that. All right? God created Adam and Eve. They were holy and happy, right? Genesis, they were walking in the garden, they were with God, and so forth and so on. They were not born sinners. They were not born. They were created. Happy and holy. Walking and talking with God, listening to God, and God blessed them. And then they saw this tree. Tree of knowledge, good and evil. God said you can eat of every tree, even the tree of life. But that tree, don't eat thereof. See, now I'm going back and I want us to look at together at our family tree. You have family reunions? I'm telling you, you need a new family. And you need a new tree. Because Adam and Eve sinned. They took of that tree, right? God said not to. Eve said, well, it looks good to me. Yeah, the devil got in there, but it wasn't the devil because she said, this looks good. Make one wise, all of this. I want this. I don't know why she did it. She did not have a fallen nature. Devil assisted. He got an assist on it. He got a dime, as they say in basketball, on it. But it was her decision. And then Adam, she gave it to him, and he ate it. I don't know what was wrong with that boy. I don't know why I didn't tell that devil to hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, honey. Don't mess with that. He just said, yeah, yeah, darling. What? And they ate it. And God held him responsible. They ate it. You are what you eat. He ate what God told him not to eat. And it messed them up. God said, the day you eat thereof, you will die. I said, that's not true because he lived 900 some odd years. That day he died spiritually. He lost the will and the ability to obey God. Before that, they were walking and talking with God. Now where are they? Over there in some bushes. Wait a minute. I've given you all this garden, and you're over here in the bushes. What you doing in the bushes? Adam, where are you? He didn't answer. Notice something wrong now. He won't answer. God knew where he was. God knows where you are. God does not ask questions for information. He got the 911. No, the 411. And you dial a 911 instead of praying to the Lord. So, They say, we were naked. Well, what? You know you were naked? I made you naked, and I made you beautiful and wonderful, and we were ashamed. Who told you you were naked in a negative sense? Shame, that comes from guilt. You know you have done wrong. It covered them. It consumed them. And that day, they died to God. They no longer wanted God. They're running from God. That day, they died. See, our life is in God. They hiding from God. And even then, God was merciful to them. He took some animal and sacrificed it and covered them in the skin of the animal rather than in no fig leaves, because sin hurts just like a fish, you know, just like them fig leaves. You diaper rash with that stuff, right? Sin will give you diaper rash and then kill you. No one ever died of diaper rash except first Adam and Eve when he had them fig leaves. But God covered them with an animal. And then he said to Eve, the first good news, Genesis 3:15, of your seed, see, going to crush the head of the serpent. And then Jesus is that seed of that woman. But everybody else from that time on has the sin of Adam and Eve. You say, that's not fair. Well, God's not fair. God is right. The whole gene pool, your whole family tree is rotten. Well, I had a professor in my family. I had a doctor, and so-and-so was a doctor. That doctor can't save himself. That professor don't know what he needs to know unless he's saved, or she is saved. Everybody is dead. That's what I said. Not just Freddie, but all y'all. Y'all heard that song, Freddie's Dead? That's what I said. Right? My wife said, what in the world are you talking about? I don't know no Freddie. In other words, we're all sinners. We all have the death penalty. We're all polluted. Come with me to Romans 1. God said, okay, if you don't want to follow what I have to say, go on with your bad self. Had a dog like that one time. Name was Prince. German Shepherd. Hate to take the boy walking. I'd take him walking, and he'd walk me. You ever have a dog like that? Had that choke chain on. Didn't make no difference. He like had an iron throat. He'd just keep going where he wanted to go. He was walking me. You know what God said? I told you. I gave you what you should do. Okay, go on. I'm giving you over to what you want to do. Romans chapter 1. This is the state of humanity. Romans 1 and verse 20. This is good review for us to go through. Verse 20, since the creation of the world, see, Paul goes back to Genesis. God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, we have clearly seen, been understood from what was made, so that men without excuse, nobody's has an excuse. Nobody. From right and wrong. Nobody has an excuse that there's, I don't know if there's a God. There is a God, and you know it. I don't try to convince people anymore. There's a God. Look at Greek. No, you know it. You know. Well, I'm an agnostic. I don't know. I don't believe anything. Yes, you do. You believe that you don't believe anything. That's your faith. That's your religion. Anyway. Since the creation of the world, the invisible things, da da da, and we are without excuse. Verse 20, he's talking to all of us. Verse 21, although they knew God, when you're born, you know right from wrong. You can't say, I don't know. God's put a conscience, and he's putting the truth of his existence and what's right and wrong with every person. Neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Our problem is that we were born with, ever since Adam, with bad hearts. Oh, bless your heart. People have a way of saying in the South, oh, bless your little heart. Your heart is corrupted. Your heart is darkened. It's dark. I have to be careful how I say this. light of God in it. Not that you could get back to God on your own or your good works. And you don't want to. You choose not to. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds and animals. They worshiped them. Therefore, God just gave them over. Go on. You want to go? Go. He gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. It's in the heart. You need a new heart. You need a new birth to get a new heart. To sexual immorality and degrading of their bodies, one with the other. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever to be praised. We do that. Whether it's a game, whether it's a computer, a car, a house, new shoes, whatever, another person. We worship the created things. Because of this, God gave them over. This is the second time it says God just gave them over. Just turned them over. To shameful lusts. Even the women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way the men also abandoned natural relations. And women were inflamed with their lust one for another. Men committed indecent. Blah, 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 blah. Verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain God in their knowledge, God again gave them over to a depraved mind. That is a corrupt mind. All of us have corrupt minds. I'm not corrupt. I'm an honest, you know, decent person. Why did David sin? Because he had a corrupt mind. It's in you. And it's death. You have a corrupt mind. It is polluted. It is polluted to the core, to the root. David came to see that he sinned because the spring inside of him. You ever live in the country or go to the country? You go to the side of a mountain hill and you see the spring. That is water coming out of the side of a mountain or a hill. And then it flows down to a stream. Somewhere the Chattahoochee River comes from some spring or some river that flows into it. From spring come streams. You have a polluted spring in you, and it just streams out of you sin every which way. And it was polluted by our father, Adam. And it's come down to all of us from one person. I have here some water, right? Clear. Adam and Eve were created holy and happy. Clear. No sin. I don't want to waste this everywhere. So I'm going to come down here. Somebody said that the picture is worth 1,000 words. Right here. Clean, pure, Adam, Eve. And then they disobeyed God. And God said, when you do, you're going to die. And everything that's coming out of you is going to die. All of us came from Adam, right? Even if your daddy was Jimmy. You came from Adam. You came from your father. Generation, 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 you get back to Adam. And you have inherited his depraved, corrupt mind. You are polluted. No amount of showering will get rid of it. No amount of education. No amount of religion. Because they couldn't work their way back into righteousness. Nothing. So they strutted out uncorrupted, pure, clear. Just like Coors beer. No, I'm kidding. You know the mountain springs, right? They show you that on TV. Adam sinned. I hold here, you can't see me online. I have a jar of water. And I have some sin here. It's green, that mean green, that money in God we trust, right? And I'm going to put one drop of green. And it's working its way through this clear jar of water. One sin, by one sin, we all became polluted. And this is turning greener and greener and greener. And if we had the time, and I could stand here with it, generation after generation, this is what you have inherited. You and I are corrupt. And there's nothing I can put in this to make it clean again. What can wash away my sin? There's nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There was nothing Adam and Eve could do. But the blood of Jesus. You have to not only get a new heart, you've got to get a new birth. You've got to get out of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You've got to get a new tree called a tree of life. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, because you can't do it. God can do it. I'm going to leave this up here. I'm going to put a top on it so it won't waste away. It's enough sin spread around as it is. I'm going to leave that there. And I want you to look at it. Nothing can change that. You say, well, I'm a chemist, and I know a formula. With your sin, there's nothing can give you life but Jesus. You know, there was anybody hear of Adolf Eichmann? He was a Nazi, created atrocities. At his trial, there was a Jewish man. Because see, some of them say, oh, no, not me. That's not me. He came to the trial and sat there, and someone was observing him. And during a break in the proceedings, the person who was observing said, you must be getting angrier and angrier as you see this trial go on and all that Eichmann has done. And he said to him, no, sir, I'm not angry. I realize more and more how evil my heart is. Not anger? No, I realize that I could have done the same thing. If we were to take all of your thoughts and all of your sins and we put them up here on the screen, there would not be room for them. All your evil thoughts, it would go on and on and on. We'd have to go home. You'd still be sitting here. Till next week. Then perhaps you would be convinced that your heart is corrupted. And that you were born, a born sinner, and in need of a new birth. I don't know. I would hope so. But if you still cling to your righteousness, see, before you can confess your sin, before David could confess his sin, he had to realize that he was a sinner. In Romans chapter 3, I have counseled with people over the years, many, and they wanted to be baptized, and I said, well, you're going to have to repent of your sins. And he said, oh, okay, I understand. I remember stealing some peaches from, the neighbor across the fence one time, and I've lived a pretty good life. I really don't have that much to repent of. And I said to them, ask God to show you that you're a sinner. Oh, I'm a respectable person. I've never committed adultery. I've helped the poor. I've done this. And they began to show me their resume of righteousness. I said, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And verse 10. And they would read it. I said, read it out loud. And they would read, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Are you the one? If you are, it's not you. It's not even one. There's no one who understands. That there's no one who seeks God. Oh, I've been seeking the Lord all my life. I've just loved the Lord all my life. I said, try to be diplomatic, but it's just there's no one who seeks God. It may be the God in your mind, but that's not the God of heaven. All have turned away. Well, maybe Paul didn't understand. They have together become worthless. If you gather all the good people in the world, he said they have become worthless. There's no one who does good. Oh, I've given to the poor. I've served at the soup lines and food. I bring food every month for the church, you know, community food bank and da-da-da-da-da. He says, no one does good, not even one. You know why? Because even the good you do, it's tainted, just like that water. Just like that water in that jar is now green. Everything you do is tainted by that green. There are times perhaps when somebody does, they're saved by the Holy Spirit, something that is good, that is totally. I think most of the things we do that are good are tainted. This thing is a pollution. You say, but I want to do good. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. Romans 7, I don't have time to go through all that. And the things that I know that are wrong, I find myself doing them. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I'm wretched, I'm messed up. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Unless you throw yourself totally and wholly on Christ and his righteousness, you are lost. You could be sitting up in church. You see, Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ alone, where we put our faith in him. I could go on and on through the list in chapter 3. I want to go to chapter 5 very quickly. Chapter 5. Because I want to prove this to you so that not just from an intellectual point of view, but from a salvation point of view. There are many in the church, they go to church every Sunday, they tithe, they say hallelujah and amen, who are just as lost as my German shepherd. I believe the church, it's one of the greatest mission fields there is. Because you could be deceived, counting on your own works of righteousness. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, Romans 5, in verse 12, look at this. See if you can say amen to this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that one drop, Adam, that one drop of green in that water, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. We sin because we're sinners. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command. Did you get that? Even by those who did not sin by breaking a command. Adam broke a command and sinned. He said, you don't have to break a command. In case you think you got it all together, in case you think I've been living righteously and I'm a pretty good person, even if you have not broken one law, you have sinned. That's radical, isn't it? See, our nature is radically corrupted, depraved. I could have read Romans 1 where he says, gave him over to a depraved mind. We're radically. Radical is from the root. I didn't grow any this year. Last year, I grew radishes. know why they call it a radish? Because it's mostly a root. Radical comes from the Latin, rad something or another. Radical or radish is the same thing. If the root is bad, guess what? The fruit's going to be bad. If the root is a radish, the leaves are going to be radish. If the bean seed is a bean, guess what you're going to eat? You're going to have beans. Job, when he came to see the Lord, he saw himself. God is holy. He's totally other. Once he came to see the Lord, you know what he said? After justifying himself, how he had fed the poor, how he had done all this, and the scripture says he was a just man, but he was a lost man. He was a sinner. He says, you know, I heard about you, God, but now my eyes see you, and I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Until you come to abhor yourself, you cannot repent in dust and ashes. Until you come to see that even though you haven't broken a command, you are a sinner who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of one to come. And by one man, I'm going to paraphrase the rest of this, as by one man sin came into the world, the rest of Romans 5 talks about it, by one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, comes life, comes justification, comes forgiveness to those who believe. One man, Jesus Christ. Verse says the gift, can't read my writing because I've written through my Bible. Verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass, for if by many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and gift that came by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Overflow to the many. See, what we need is a new birth. We got to get out of Adam and into Jesus. We got to get out of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil family tree into the tree of life family tree. And God is the only one who can take us out of that and put us in his Son. We're all dead without Jesus. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your faith totally in him, you are dead. I know you're walking, but you're walking dead. Ephesians chapter 2. You're dead spiritually. You don't have the ability to come to God. You don't have the will to choose it. You don't want to. You can look at, oh, well, we're supposed to have free will. A lion's got free will. You can look at a free will as choices that a lion makes, that a dog makes, that you make. You're free to choose. Does a lion in our age eat straw? Huh? Does a lamb eat meat? One's carnivorous, one's herbal. What do you call it? Help me hear you. Herbivore, thank you. If you put a bale of hay in front of a lion, he has free will. He is free to eat it. He can go ahead and start munching on it if he wanted to, but he don't want to. He's got free will though, right? He doesn't want to. Same with a lost person. They don't want to come to Christ unless God changes their heart. See, because they got a heart problem. Just like a lion has a lion problem. A lion do what a lion's supposed to do. I'm looking at, I won't tell you who it is. I'm thinking about it. Let's do it this way. What are my grandsons when they're little? They just like to run and fall down. Everybody gonna hurt yourself. One day they did. I said, why are you limping? That didn't hurt. And so my wife said, why are you always running and just deliberately falling down and rolling? He says, because I'm a little boy, Grandma. And that's what little boys do. That's what lions do. They eat meat. That's what sinners do. They sin. We need to change the nature. We need a change of identity. We need a new birth because we're dead into what we're into. Ephesians 2 says, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who now works in those who are disobedient. And all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying, right, the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, and like the rest were by nature objects of wrath. But God, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. You were dead spiritually. Now he makes you alive. It's what he does. Now you want Jesus with Christ. Even when you were dead in your transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God's raised you up with Christ. Now you're in Jesus. Now you are the only one who became a man and lived righteously. Now you're in him. You got a new birth. In Titus 3, it talks about the new birth. And you're born into the family of God. You're no longer a slave to sin. We sang that earlier. Now you are a child of God. You got a new family. Well, the new head is not Adam anymore. It's the second Adam, Jesus. And it's not by what you do, it's by what you believe that empowers you through the new heart, which is the Holy Spirit, to live according to the Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us we can walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. When you believe God gives you a new heart, he doesn't take the old one away. I knew a person one time, they had a Native American background, and their name was Two Hearts. Two hearts. You have two hearts. And out of that old heart, Mark 7, comes all kind of evil. Jesus says, not what's coming from the outside. We want to blame others. We want to say it's the environment and da 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 da. Mark 7 says, Jesus says, it's not what comes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart. Hatred, adulteries, blah, 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 blah. It's the heart, and God's given us a new heart. And it's through the Holy Spirit and by his grace and trusting in him, we can choose to live in the Spirit from the new heart, from the new family, and the new identity. You're going to always have that other one tempting you. But he's empowered you to choose, I'm not going to live in that no more. Paul says, if you have the Spirit of God, then walk in the Spirit. It is a choice you have to make, and he empowers you. You can't do it by yourself. It is by his grace, his empowering presence, and by faith in him that you and I can. And we don't do it always. My wife was helping me a week or two ago, and I was struggling with something. She said, it's not about what they did or I did or somebody else did. She said, don't you remember Mark 7? I'm paraphrasing. She's going to say, it's not quite like I put it, but forgive me, baby, if I'm ad-libbing here. She says, it's not about anything that you focus in on. This is coming out of your heart. You living in that old heart. It's not what he did, what she did, or what the other. No. God's giving you his Spirit. And in his Spirit, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You're choosing to live out of that old heart. That's dead. It was crucified with Christ. Choose to live in and walk in the present. We like to go back to the past. You know, the good old days. We even go back to things that were bad and live in them. That's crazy. That's that pollution. So I said, well, you're blaming Adam now. Yes, Adam did it, and we suffer. We die. But you don't have to blame even Adam no more because he's placed you in Jesus. You can't say it's your family came out of it because he's giving you a new family, a new identity. You're no longer a slave to sin. Our identity is Christ. And so by faith, let us walk in it. Let us confess Yes, as David did, I was conceived in sin. I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. But thank God, and we'll get into that next week, how David turned to the Spirit of God. And we walk in the power and victory. And just as we're going to get a new body, when we die and Jesus comes back, we're going to get it. That old flesh and that old heart and mind, that's going to go with it. And we're going to be free. Free indeed. But we can start living in freedom right now if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And what He has done, He's paid it all. All to Him we owe. We have been born again of the Spirit and washed in His blood. Confess your sin. Confess, Father, forgive me for walking in the death of Adam and rather than the life of Christ. And by faith, Holy Spirit, empower me. Father, we come before You thankful of what You've done through Jesus. And we need Your help. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure enough need Him now. And You're here with us. And You're in us. Thank You for the victory that Jesus came. And He overcame the world. He overcame the devil. He overcame the flesh. He lived in righteousness. And it's applied to us. Thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to now partake of a covenant meal. The Lord's Supper is a covenant meal. It is, as Jesus put it in Matthew 26, it is His blood in the new covenant. And in that covenant, we have all of our sins forgiven, and we're given in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's an awesome thing. We're given a new identity, a new family, as I preached about. The family of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 14, Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels me." Now you've got a new motivation. It's the love of Christ. When you look at the love of God expressed in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it says, "Wow, God loved me like that. While I was still in my sins." For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. Just like when one sinned, it affected all. When one died, He died for all. All of the sins. And therefore, all died. The old you in that old Adam tree. And He died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them. And was raised again. So from now on, verse 16, regard no one from a worldly point of view. No one from their background in Adam. No one from human achievement. Because none of that gets you salvation. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. In other words, we regarded Him according to the flesh. Paul looked at Him as apostate. He looked at Him as an enemy to the truth of God. And therefore, he went about persecuting the church. And Jesus, at that persecution, the resurrected Christ appeared to him and says, "Why persecutest me?" It goes back to last week's sermon, doesn't it? That what you do to another person, you're doing it to Christ. As Paul was persecuting the church, he says, why do you persecute me? Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You know, back to that creation language from Genesis. You're a new creation in Christ. See, Christ is the new creation. Therefore, if you're in Him, you're in the new creation. You're not, the old creation represented the federal head of the old and all of humanity was Adam. And the federal head of the new creation is Jesus. He represents us before God, and we are in him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, as you eat this bread and drink it, the wine in faith, you are proclaiming that you are in Christ. The old has gone. The new has come. That's where we've got to live, in the new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. When Jesus was on this earth, he was bringing the sheep in. As he sits as our high priest in heaven, the Father calls us to Jesus to be a part of his heavenly family. All of this is from God. This is not by our own human effort or endeavor. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Now he's given us a ministry of reconciliation, of telling others that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, not counting the sin of Adam anymore against us, and the sins that flow from that. Now he's counting us as righteous and holy. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Can you imagine God, holy and righteous, is now sin? That's radical. And it does get to the root of it. That's the only way man can be saved, is that God becomes sin for us. That's why Jesus took all of our sins and God put all of his wrath and judgment that was due us on him. That's the only way it could be done, because God had been sinned against from the beginning. And God had to be appeased, and there was no one who could appease that but God himself. Be sent for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The greatest exchange. We talk about stock exchanges, the New York Stock Exchange, the Philadelphia, et cetera, Chicago. The greatest exchange that's ever been made is that God took our sins and gave us his righteousness. What is your faith in? What is your stock in? This is the good news of the gospel. God has paid with his own life. He has redeemed your worthless stock in bonds and given you treasure of his righteousness and holiness. Father, we thank you for this priceless exchange. Thank you for crediting to our account your righteousness and holiness. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our sins and having them credited to you and receiving the punishment. And the debt we owed, you paid, and it is paid in full. Help us to appreciate this, Lord, and be thankful as we eat the bread and drink the wine, so thankful that we live out of thanksgiving and out of the love that so compels us, not by obligation, but by inspiration and the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, bring the reality of Christ's love and grace into our lives as we eat the bread and drink the wine, that we realize we are redeemed, we have been set free, that we have been born again. We're not what we used to be. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, do bless this. Amen.
sing.